Okay, Matthew 28. Some of you guys already turned there. You guys know me too well. I'm predictable. Now I want to see where you turn to next week. Okay, so Matthew 28, and we are continuing our series that we've been in for a little while. I actually looked up, and we began this in the end of October of 2022. So this has been right at 2 years that we've been in this series. And you guys have hung in there with me on all this. So anyway, our series, as you all well know by now, we are desiring to get a clear view of who Jesus is through the gospel accounts. We've been going through chronologically. And as we're in Matthew chapter 28, that's the end of the gospel of Matthew. We are drawing near to the end of our series, and I don't know, this may be our last message. I'm not entirely certain. I'm planning on it to be the end of our last message, unless the Lord steers me differently throughout this week. But anyway, lately what we've been focusing on is Jesus' final words, and Jesus had finished what he came to do. He was about to return to heaven, and it was now the disciples' turn. It was their chance. And so he told them to go and tell the good news. And for those who believe, they were to be taught and they were to grow to the place where they were able to teach. And so salvation should be followed up with discipleship. There should be growth that happens after salvation. And this may have seemed like a big task, but we saw last week that Jesus promised that he would be with us. And that makes a huge difference, just knowing that the Lord is with us. And the fact that Jesus is with us means, first of all, that we're never alone. The whole world may forsake us, but Jesus never will. Friends and family may turn their backs on us, but Jesus won't. And so there is no way he's going to leave us. And there's also no way we're going to leave him. We can't go anywhere that he is not. He has promised that he is going to be with us to the end. The second thing that we find, because that he is with us, he knows our circumstances. He's right there with us through everything that we go through. So he knows what's going on in our lives. He knows our joys and our pain. He knows our successes and our failures. He knows our hopes and our fears, our strengths, our weaknesses. He knows those who have helped us and those who have hurt us. Mm-hmm. He knows all about us, and he is aware and he cares about us. Mm-hmm. We also saw that because he is with us and knows our circumstances, that he also knows our sins. And we may try to hide those from him. We may try to pretend that they don't exist. We discount them and minimize them in our minds and try to excuse ourselves in these things. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is there. He knows all about it. None of it surprises him. Just as Adam and Eve tried to hide their sins with fig leaves and in the garden, he can see right through it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a threat. That's not a problem, because the fact that he is with us and that he already knows means we don't have to hide it from him. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on a facade. Instead, we can take our struggles, our troubles, and our sins directly to him and be forgiven, be cleansed, and he can help us to overcome those things. And so whenever we will be honest with him about the things in our life, then he is able to help us with those things. And so that brings us to the next thing that we find. He is available to guide us. Since he is always with us, he is more than happy to give direction. But he doesn't violate our will. He doesn't force us to follow him. He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming. There was a funny anecdote that was going around there a while back, and it was talking about the poem Footprints in the Sand. Has anyone ever seen that? You know, where there's only one set of footprints, that's where I carried you. And then the anecdote that went around was, well, what about that long line there? And he's like, oh, that's where I drug you. Well, the Lord doesn't drag us, okay? But he is available for us to go to him, put our trust in him, allow him to direct our steps. Mm-hmm. If we look to him, he will put us on the right path. Then we saw that he assists us in our service. His presence comes with his power. He didn't send out the disciples to go and do a work for him in their own power, their own ability. That's why he said, I am with you. He didn't send us out on our way and say, good luck. Go out and live the Christian life. Go out and serve me. Go out and do these things. Let's see how you get on. But he said, I am with you. And so he is able to aid us in our service. We find that without him, we can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible. And so we better make sure whenever we are serving him, we are serving with him. Okay. And then the last thing that we looked at was that because he is with us, he's going to see us to the end. He's going to see us to the end. He will finish what he began. Those that he saved, he will keep. What he calls you to, he is able to cause you to accomplish. And the place that he's prepared, you'll one day see. And so the fact that he is with us, he's going to lead us home. And so praise the Lord that he is with us. We're glad for that. And today's going to be, as I said, probably our last day in this passage and our last day in this series. And Jesus had much to say in this final interaction. That's why we've taken several weeks to look at it. And the disciples would be glad for the promise of his presence, but they were at the start of something big. Would you all agree? Mm-hmm. As Jesus left them to go and share the gospel to all regions of the world, to be the ones that would go out and proclaim the truth to this world and shepherd his sheep, that was a huge undertaking here. And so soon they would see the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. They would see thousands saved. They would see scripture recorded, but they would also see persecution coming for them. The gates of hell would never prevail against the church, though they sure would try.
Yeah.
And believers down through the ages are going to wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we wrestle yet today. But the Lord said, I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And those gates of hell will not prevail against it. Those principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness will not overcome. And so in Jesus's words, all the way back then, he gave a glimpse of the future. And that glimpse should be an encouragement to us. That's what we're going to look at today. So Matthew 28, verse 16, this is familiar enough in writing. Maybe we should just quote it by memory by now. Is that what we need to do? Okay, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. See, I should be able to say it better now, right? I should be able to read it better. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this word that we have and how rich it is, how deep the wells are from which we can draw, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, ask you that you would be with us as we preach today. I just pray that you guide and direct me in my thoughts and my words, that I would remember the things that we have studied, that I'd be able to clearly communicate them. And Lord, that they would be a help and a blessing to the people assembled here. Lord, I thank you for the folks coming out, for their heart for you, their desire for you. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, Lord, and I just pray your blessings upon them. I ask you, Lord, that through this message, it would be an encouragement to your people, that it would help to reorient their thoughts, their perspective, that they would trust in you more, that they would increase in their faith, Lord, and, Lord, their determination to follow and to obey you. Lord, that they would determine to be found faithful, as we sung a little while ago. And, Lord, I pray if there's one here today that don't know you as their Savior, that even today they would call upon you and put their faith and trust in you. If there's one drifting and far from you right now, one that's doubting and struggling, Lord, that they would come to you and seek you and allow you to pick them up and strengthen them and help them. And I pray, Lord, that you please be with those in the back with the kids and the children, Lord. I just pray you be with the needs there. Help us, Lord, that we can be a light and be a witness. And, Lord, I pray once again, guide my words and my thoughts and all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we look at this passage, we ended with the words, and I emphasized, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The end of the world is an interesting topic for us. It's an interesting concept. Hollywood has made a lot of movies about the end of the world.
Yeah.
They fantasized about it. Is that a good way to put it? They fantasized about the end of the world?
Yeah.
There is lots of speculation going on about it. And it is amazing how many movies, TV shows, books are very dystopian in nature. Mm-hmm. They are looking at what if the world ended or nearly ended? What if almost all of humanity was wiped out and there was only a handful yet alive? This kind of stuff has intrigued men for as long as men have been around, right?
Okay.
And so whenever we look at, there's all the movies, there's books that's written, religions that have a different view on how the world's going to end or what they think about the end of the world, people have tried to predict it. There's been millions and billions of euros, of dollars, of whatever currency that has been spent in trying to prevent it. But there's very few that would be foolish enough to say that there is not a such thing as the end of the world, right? Everything within us and without us tells us that this world cannot go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us look at it and say, I hope it doesn't go on forever, because how long can it exist?
Right.
With wars, pestilence, and supposed climate change, with natural disasters, and the plain fact that creation is winding down. Scientists are studying out the creation, and they're seeing the sun's eventually going to burn out, the galaxies are going to spiral out, all these different things happening. The earth is winding down like a clock. Okay, for those who are old enough to realize, remember wind-up clocks. That was before digital, right? And whenever we think about the idea of the world coming to an end, it scares a lot of people. Especially as we consider the things that are going on in the world today. I've looked at the news, and it's probably a bad thing to do, just so you know. But in the past weeks, Iran has attacked Israel, both of which are nuclear powers. Both of them have nuclear bombs. And now they're deciding to attack one another. That's not cool, is it? We find that even Israel is coming into conflict with the UN. That's a big thing, isn't it? If you look at the northern border with Lebanon, Israel's been trying to push back the terrorists that are hurling missiles across their border. And in that, you've got UN defense forces that are actually shielding the terrorists. And then they're causing an uproar whenever the Israelis send bombs over and send missile strikes in that come close to the defense forces that have decided to plant themselves amongst the terrorists. Imagine that. Now, I'm not intending for this to be political, but here's the thing. There is a lot of turmoil in this world today. There's a lot of talk right now of what is Israel going to do to retaliate against Iran, because they promised that they're going to. There's begging going on that Israel doesn't take out nuclear refineries or oil production systems and all these things. There is a lot of turmoil. Not only that, but now we've got the EU fighting a proxy war with Russia through Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We've got wars going on all throughout Africa between countries and different players there. We've got wars going on in South America and in Argentina and different places. We've got war going on in every continent besides besides Antarctica. Sorry. And the other reason there's not war going on down there is it's too cold. The guns wouldn't fire. And so as we consider all of these things that are going on, people are afraid. What's going to happen? There are people who are making bunkers and bomb shelters. They're stockpiling canned goods and toilet roll. Why is it always toilet roll? Just curious. And many are hoping that someone will come out with answers. That maybe the next election, whichever country or continent you're on, the next election, maybe that's going to solve the problem. People are hoping that they can prevent or stave off the end of the world. The world may be afraid, they may lose their mind, but we as believers should not be fearful. We should not be worried about it. We have His promises to assure us that we're going to be all right. God has already told us what's going to happen, how this is going to wind down. And so the end of the world doesn't need to discourage us, but I believe instead all of these things should encourage us. And that's what I want to preach on today, is encouraged by the end. And as we consider this idea of the end of the world, I think the first thing that should encourage us about the fact that there is an end to this world is that the Lord knows all about it and He's in control of it. None of it surprises him. None of it catches him off guard. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how crazy the world stage is, how crazy the Putin or whoever else is in control. It doesn't matter if Iran gets the bomb and decides to detonate. It doesn't matter because ultimately it's going to play out as God said it would.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's nothing that can happen that does not align with God's plan and his purposes. He is in control. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. All the way back in Genesis 3, he proclaimed that the seed of the woman would bruise the head, or would not just bruise, but the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And that will happen. One day he is going to wipe out Satan. He's going to send him to hell where he belongs, and I'll be glad he's there. Satan is the only one I'll be glad that I see to go to hell.
Exactly.
And we'll celebrate that day, okay? Mm-hmm. One of these days, whatever he is going and he's done, the one that has caused us all sorts of problems and tempted us and caused all of this unrest and turmoil, I'll be glad to see him go to hell.
Yeah.
But he's the only one I want to go there.
Right.
He has already promised about the first and second coming and prophesied about it. And he doesn't just know that there is an end, but he knows when and how.
Mm-hmm.
When and how. When the Bible refers to the end or the end times, it speaks of the final age or the last events of the world as we know it. We're not talking about like a final explosion whenever the place detonates and it's all gone. Yeah. Not talking about like a lights out kind of moment. But whenever we come to the end, there is a time of the end. There is a process that takes place, a plan that unfolds whenever the Lord deals with the earth and he is going to set all things right. He is going to judge all nations. He is going to do with what should be done on this earth.
Yeah.
Okay? Bible has much to say about how the end of the world is going to unfold. The wars, the natural disasters, the political, religious, and spiritual players in the matter. We can look through the different prophecies of the Old Testament. We can look at Revelation in the New Testament. All these different things that's laid out in the Word of God that tells us about this final act. It's spelled out in all of these things, and we can take heart in the fact that it's going to happen exactly as God said it would.
Mm-hmm.
That all of these prophecies are going to be fulfilled just as accurately as those that have already happened. We can rest in that. And in the end, God and all his people is going to win. Doesn't matter who's on earthly thrones. Doesn't matter who has what weapons or bombs. It doesn't matter what disease comes out, what happens after COVID. There'll be another thing.
Yeah.
We've had swine flu and bird flu and Ebola, and there'll be something. Doesn't matter what comes out. It won't be the end of the world. Until the Lord says it is.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to fret or fear. We don't have to have panic attacks and get ulcers because God is on the throne and he knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's doing. And we can be encouraged because we're on the winning side.
Mm-hmm.
And so the end of the world is an encouragement to the believer because it's going to unfold exactly as the Lord said it would.
Right.
We can also be encouraged because it means that evil is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is temporary. There are several times that we can read through Scripture and the Psalms and some of the prophets where God's people ask God, how long?
Yes.
You ever been there?
Yes.
Lord, how long is this mess going to go on? How long before you judge this world? How long before you set things straight? How long are you going to allow the wicked to prevail? How long is it going to be that it seems like Satan is winning? How long until we get the victory? How long before we see the life that you've talked about? How long before you come and rule and reign like you said that you would?
Mm-hmm.
Even back in the Bible days, whenever Jesus came, one of the reasons why the Jews rejected him is because they were ready for him to set things right back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't patient enough to wait for his plan and for his timing. And so whenever he didn't throw off the Romans and he didn't put up his throne and overcome all these other things back then, they rejected him and said he must not be the Messiah because the Messiah needs to set things right. Lord, how long?
Yeah.
Was their request. That was their inquisition there. We find that creation is broken. It's merely a shadow of what it's meant to be. Sickness and death is foreign to us, right? whenever people get sick, we know it's not right. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. It is the anomaly, right?
Yeah.
We want health to be the normal thing. We want health to be our normal experience. And whenever there is unhealth, then there's a problem, right?
Right.
It's offensive to us. It's offensive to our human heart and to our mind. And after thousands of years, we haven't evolved to get used to it. Right? It's still unnatural. And it's temporary. And it will end when he makes all things new.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, the end of the world is the end of the world as we know it. It's not the end of us.
Right.
It's not the end of God. There is an eternity beyond this. And so this world may pass away, but he won't, and we won't. He's got plans for us. This world is temporary, and it's going to end. He's going to make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
We find the sin, corruption, and oppression seem to reign in this world. There's corrupt politicians. There's oppressive dictators. There's terrorists. There's wars, murder, greed, selfishness, lust. There's envy. There's hurt. There's trauma. There's evil. All of these things are very much real and at work in this world today. Pain and suffering at the hand of others one day will be a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to deal with it.
Yeah.
There is going to be an end.
Right.
It's going to come to completion. The righteous king's going to reign. Evil is going to be judged and dealt with. The wicked will not prevail forever. There is an end. So whenever he says, I will be with thee, even unto the end of the world, all of these things are going to pass away. And he is going to make all things new.
Yes.
We are promised. The righteous judge will make all things right. Sin will no longer have a hold on God's children.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness and suffering is no longer going to exist. And all those that question, if God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? They'll get their answer.
Right.
He has been patient. He's been long-suffering. But one day there will be an end. The world will end with all the evil, and God will make all things new for his children. So we can be encouraged that there is an end, because that end means evil is going to end, that evil is temporary.
Yeah.
As God's children, we can also be encouraged to live for eternity because this world's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The world may be temporary and have an end, but as I said a moment ago, we don't have an end.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that we're going to have eternal life. That doesn't mean it ends at the end of the world.
Right.
Eternal means eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Means forever.
Yeah.
Everlasting. And so we are eternal. We have a life and a home beyond this. And it's easy to get caught up in this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get caught up in this life and live like there's nothing beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
We live like this 70, 80, 90, whatever years that we have down here is all there is, and we've got to put our all into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, this is just a drop in the bucket of what we're going to have.
Yes.
That if we invest everything that we are, everything that we have, into this vapor that we call life, then we have really missed the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to end. This world is going to end. All that we've invested in down here is going to end. All that we're trying to build up, the kingdom that we're trying to raise here, has an end. And beyond this end, there's a new beginning.
Right.
And the Lord has told us that we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, that we can do things that count for eternity, that we can live for things that actually matter. And this short time that we spend on this ball of dirt called earth can have an impact that lasts for eternity,
mm-hmm.
long after the earth is done and gone. Even the church has become, not this one specifically, but the church in general, has become so focused on this world that they think that our job is to try to improve this world.
Mm-hmm.
Try to overcome this world. Try to make it a better place from which people can go to hell.
Yeah.
We find that the church, in many times, there's some teaching, some religions out there, that believe that it is our job to usher in the kingdom of God down here on this earth as if he's going to rule and reign on this earth for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this world to last forever. I don't want it to last in this form forever. Wouldn't that be a shame?
Yeah.
Could you imagine living eternally with all the limitations and all the struggles and the problems of this current age, this current world? I think it's merciful that the Lord is going to recreate it, that he's going to destroy it, that he's going to do something with it, because he says, I don't want imperfection to last eternally. Are y'all with me? As I said, some groups think that we're to take over the world, to control the world, as if Christians just had control of the world, it would be a better place, and the Lord would just come down and rule and reign. That's not what he said. He said, this world is temporary. We're here to be a light. We're here to be witnesses. We're here to proclaim the gospel and tell people about him, because there is a world to come. Mm-hmm. There is eternity. There is a heaven. And so it's not going to get better. It's not going to become heaven down here. There is an end. And so we can live for the future rather than living for what we have here. Yes, we should enjoy God's creation. We should be good citizens. We should work our jobs and take care of our families. But we need to keep our focus on God and eternity. Lay your treasures up in heaven, not on this earth. Don't neglect the eternal for the temporal. Because the world is temporary, so we need to live for what is eternal, not for that which is going to go away. And so anyway, we need to be encouraged. Lord knows it all. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. We need to be encouraged that sin is going to be dealt with. It's going to be taken care of. It's not going to last forever. We need to be encouraged to follow after the Lord, live for eternity, because this life is temporary. This earth, temporary. We've got so much beyond this. You can't take it with you, but you can send forth treasures before you, right? So the fourth thing that we find here, the fact that there is an end should encourage us to be a witness. Should encourage us to be a witness. The Lord has spelled out his plans and that he's going to deal with wickedness. He's going to deal with this broken world, that he's going to replace it with a perfect one, and that God has made a way for us to be there. He has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. He has promised that he's going to prepare a place for all those who believe upon him. And because of that, those who know him should be encouraged to tell others about that place. Mm-hmm. About the future, as the world is running around like a chicken with its head cut off, as people are fretting and fearing, if you just tune into the news and hear how negative it is, yeah. Right? It will depress you. It will discourage you. And you start worrying and fretting. It's like, oh no, global warming. The ice caps are going to melt. We're all going to drown. Right? All of the natural disasters is taking place. Half of America is flooded now. Right? And that's on the back of just prior to that, there was a drought. Not enough water. Too much water. As I've already stated, all these wars and different things, and people are looking at this without any hope.
Right.
People are wringing their hands and they're saying, what's going to happen? What's going to become of us? People are getting to the place where they're afraid to even have children because they don't know what the future holds. Have you read any stories about that lately? People are afraid of the climate crisis, the financial crisis. There's a crisis for everything out there. And then we read the Word of God. We walk with our shepherd, with our Savior, realizing that he has a plan, that he is in control, that he knows what he's doing. And we have a hope outside this earth. Paul says that if in this life only I have hope, I am of all men most miserable. He says, if this is all there is to it, then count me out. Why do you think people are suicidal today? Why do you think people are rushing off into eternity like they are today without any hope? Because they don't realize that there's something greater, something bigger, something more important than this life here below. Because they're looking around and they're saying, if this is all there is, I want out. But we have the truth that this isn't all there is. That there is a God above, there is a heaven beyond. And they can have a part of that. And that's good news that we have to proclaim. That's good news that we can tell. And so as the world is devolving into greater and greater chaos, as people are more and more troubled, we have the good news. We have the answers. And we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. It's going to last exactly as long as God wants it to.
Right.
And beyond that, he's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And so with that, we need to be encouraged to be a witness, to tell people about who he is and what he's got going on. He has placed us here to tell the good news to a world that needs to hear. And in light of all that's going on, it's really good news, isn't it? We can even take him to the Bible and show him these things. It's amazing, all the prophecies, all the scriptures. It talks about the various things that we are seeing on television today. God prophesied. He told in his word. He revealed to us these things are going to happen. Why should we be surprised? Why should we worry? Why should we fret? Why should we fear? And we can say there is a God. He knows all things. He loves you. And he wants you to be with him. That's encouraging to us. And so God has a plan. They can be a part of it. So don't get sucked into all the doom and gloom that goes around. Let it encourage you that there is much beyond our life and that we can tell others about it, tell them about our God. Fifth thing that we find here is whenever we think about Jesus' words here, that I am with you unto the end of the world, we can be encouraged because our God is big. We can be encouraged because our God is big. And as I said in Sunday school, we often make little of God. Or make God little.
Mm-hmm.
To us, the world is big. You realize that?
Okay.
Even in the way that we talk and some of the phrases we use, you mean the world to me. You ever heard that? You ever said that? You mean the world to me. Because that's like the biggest thing. And we see that as so huge. It's all we know. And it's an amazing thing that God has created. He spoke it into existence. He was here before it. He exists outside of it. And he's going to be here long after it's gone.
Yeah.
The fact that he spoke it into existence shows us how small of a matter the very biggest thing that we can imagine is. The song of the kids sing, he's got the whole world in his hand. We serve a big God. Whenever we think about the end of the world, it's like this huge thing, and Jesus just flippantly says, I'm here with you to the end of the world. It's just a blip on his timeline.
Right.
You ever think about that? We see it as like the exclamation point, the final scene, the end. Just a blip on his radar, just a spot on his timeline. There's something far beyond that.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't overwhelmed with it. Men think they're big and that they can save the planet. That's funny, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We can control the climate. Yeah. It's not going to happen. We can stave off natural disasters. We can make world peace. It's not going to happen as long as men are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a God that's in control. God made it and he's going to finish it. And he's going to recreate it perfect again. And he's not even going to break a sweat doing it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
We read the account of creation. Him speaking it into existence in 6 days and on the seventh day resting. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he's good. And he knew that we needed that for an example.
Right.
Whenever it says that he rested the seventh day, it's not because it was such a huge thing for him to create the heavens and the earth. He says, I'm a good God and I want them to rest in me and know I'm going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to show them, yeah, go ahead and work your 6 days, but make sure you take a day out to rest.
Yeah.
Consider what I've just done.
Mm-hmm.
He created all of it. He didn't need any help from man to do it. I think that's one of the reasons why he waited so long in creation to make mankind, because he didn't need man's opinion. You realize if he made man on day one, he'd probably be trying to input how he should make things. You sure you want to make it that way, God? You should have done it this way. We've got a big God. He doesn't need our input. A God that can frame the world and keep creation going like clockwork can be trusted with our lives, can be trusted with making things work out on this earth. We may not always understand what's going on. We may not like the way that things are going, either in the environment or the world scene with politics and all that. But you can rest assured that God is big enough to have all of it under his control. There's never been a dictator or a president or a king that has been any threat to God at all. Because if God wanted to, You just get rid of him. Right? Even Satan is no match for God. We have this idea, and wherever it came from, I don't know, that somehow God and Satan are equal opposites, and it's good and evil, yin and yang. Satan is a created being, and he can do nothing unless God allows it. And Satan can do his worst, the most wicked and the most evil things that he can come up with in his twisted mind. And God can work all those together for good. You realize that Satan put his crosshairs on Jesus Christ and desired to kill him. He set everything in motion to kill Jesus, and Jesus took that and saved the world with it. What Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. That's how big our God is. Satan says, hey, look, I'm going to kill God. And God says, I'm going to use that and save mankind. You know, he can do that in your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is an end. We see that God is big enough to make a new beginning. He's big enough to do away, fold this thing up, get rid of it, and make something new. And if he can do that, he can do that in your life.
Mm-hmm.
All that's messed up with you, say, oh, I'm not messed up. Well, I am. He's big enough to take all that's messed up in me, clean it, make something new out of it. He's big enough to take all of the junk that's going on in the world, work it together for good.
Right.
He's able to take the hardships and the struggles and the problems that you have, bring those to an end and make something new.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to do that. We serve a big God. And we find that the big God that said that he would be with you until the end of the world doesn't mean that, okay, when the world ends, you're on your own, I'm done with you. Because remember, we're eternal, right? You know why it says I'm with you until the end of the world? Because then we're with him.
Exactly, yeah.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, as long as you're on this earth, I'm going to be with you. But as soon as you leave this earth, you're with me.
Mm-hmm.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
You know what that means? Even at the end of the world, he's still not forsaken us.
Mm-hmm.
He's still not left us alone. He's not forgotten about us. He says, I'm with you till the end of the world, then you're with me. That's huge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, he says, the former things are going to pass away, but I'm going to make all things new.
Right.
You know who's going to get a witness that? I am. If you trusted him as your Savior, you're going to.
Right.
Because we serve a big God.
Yeah.
You realize the end doesn't mean much to him. And that should encourage us. So the final thing I want to look at here, whenever we're talking about the end of the world, the fact that all these things are going to come to an end, if you are not saved, it should encourage you to be.
Yes.
There is no hope for you in this world. There's no hope for you in politics. There's no hope for you in your job and your family or any of these other things. You can build all of it up, but it all comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? At the end of your life, there's still an eternity to go.
Yeah.
You can live for this life alone. You can think it's all down here. But there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
There is an eternity. There is a lot beyond this end.
Yes.
And he has extended to us an opportunity. While this world exists, while we are here, he's extended us an opportunity. He came down to this ball of dirt. He lived a perfect and sinless life, as we looked at in Sunday school. He died a death for us, sacrificially on our part, to pay for the sins of the world. He rose victorious the third day, and he has offered salvation to whosoever will.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever will may come. And so whenever we think about this, you may be troubled, you may be fearful, you may be struggling with all these different things, but we have a God that is in control, that's going to deal with sin and wickedness and all these things. It's going to cause life to go on long past the end, and he wants you there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's never been a time in your life that you have seen yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and called out to Him to forgive your sins and save your soul. The fact that there is an end should cause you to call upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to face eternity without Him. Why would you want to? He has done so much to make salvation available, to show Himself to us. And the fact, I'll be with you unto the end of the world, and I want to be with Him after that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're here today and you have never been saved, you can spend eternity with Him by simply admitting that you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, that Jesus died for you, and accept that free gift. And if you're here today and you've done that, what do you have to be afraid of? What do you have to worry about? The end of the world. So what? I've got a God that's promised to be with me all the way to the end, and I'm going to be with Him after that.
Right.
I'm going to allow Him just to take care of me. He's going to deal with sin and wickedness. He's going to keep me through eternity. That's encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be able to convey it as well as I would like to, but do you know how amazing that is? That the worst thing that the world can imagine is a starting point for us?
Yeah.
That He's going to make all things new. He's going to make a place for us, and we're going to spend an eternity with Him.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to the day that sin is dealt with, that my flesh and all of its flaws are taken care of. I mean, I'm not hurting along or anything, but I got some stuff to look forward to. And we come to the end of the Word of God. It says, even so, come quickly. Even so, come quickly. Whenever the world is fretting about what's coming down the road, I'm with God. Bring it on. Right? What do we have to fear? Because He is with us. So that's my encouragement for you today. The world fears the end. But the end means nothing to the believer.
Right.
Because God's with us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to You today. Just thank You so much for this assurance that we have. Lord, there's so much turmoil, chaos in this world. And I thank You, Lord, that this world isn't our hope. This world isn't the end. But it will come to an end. And I thank You that You're in charge, that You're there. You know exactly what You're doing. And Lord, we just trust You. We're encouraged by the fact that You have a plan, that You're in control, and Lord, that we're going to see it work out exactly as You would have it to. And Lord, we don't have to fret, we don't have to fear, let come what may. And Lord, You have our future, You have our now. And Lord, I just thank You for these things. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today that don't know You as their Savior, Lord, as we think about the end, Lord, that they want their end to be with You, Lord, they put their faith and trust in You. And Lord, I pray if there is one who is saved today, Lord, but maybe hasn't been living for You and serving You, maybe they've been struggling, they've been doubting, Lord, I just pray that they would rest in You, Lord, that they would put their trust in You, not just for salvation, but also for this life here below. Lord, we thank You so much for all that You do. We ask You, Lord, that You would just be with us, use us, guide, direct us, draw us nearer to You, Lord, and at the end, take us to be with You. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.